It's Tuesday, June 29th. I'm Jeff Schwartz alongside Gabe Goodwin. This is Jeff Schwartz Smarting You. This week, we're going to hit Aaron Rodgers again because the story just will not die. The College World Series had a little COVID protocol situation, which will happen in the NFL. And Gabe wants to talk about the Jets. I don't know why, but Gabe is a Jets fan. He wants to talk about them. So we're doing that. Gabe, how you doing, buddy?
No, first of all, I don't want to talk about the Jets. I want to talk about how stupid people talking about the Jets right now is. The point of this show when we came up with it, Jeff, was you have a really good ability to cut through the media BS and to tell us what actually goes on in the NFL. And you're great with it on the field, but in the offseason, you're especially great at it because you can just call it out. And there's some dumb shit going on with the Jets.
There's dumb shit everywhere. It's everywhere. There's dumb shit everywhere. There's a story today that one of the Steelers offensive linemen, second year guys, Kevin Dotson from Louisiana, who my boy trains, who I know is in shape. And there's a story from some guy in Pittsburgh who says he talked to some coach who said he's out of shape, which is just utter bullshit. It's not true. Like I know Kevin, he's not out of shape. And it's just that type of season. It's just makeup story season.
Well, I don't want to needlessly throw anyone under the bus, but there's a guy who has a reputation for sort of making up takes.
Mike Florio.
Yeah, there. You called him out, yes. Not me. Florio has that reputation, certainly among players and guys like yourself. And so he's going to be the one who kicks this off. Okay, he provides us a wild but very interesting Aaron Rodgers take this week, and a lot of people have jumped on it. So let's dive right into it, and this will start a series of idiotic things to discuss in the offseason. He has still not indicated, Aaron Rodgers, that he is going to come back to the Packers this season. He's obviously been sitting out some team activities, and now your boy Mike Florio at Pro Football Talk is floating the idea that Aaron Rodgers could use the COVID opt-out and keep about $18 million of salary instead of having to hold out the traditional way. So this would mean that basically Aaron doesn't have to show up and play for the Packers, keeps almost all of his money, sits out a year, and then, who knows, has 3 years left on a deal and could do whatever he wants after that. I think that this is the Rodgers camp floating it to try to create some kind of urgency or leverage with the Packers. The deadline for COVID opt-outs is Friday. This is Rodgers playing 4D chess, and Florio's just moving the pieces on the board for him.
When I saw this story, I thought this was the perfect story for when Gabe comes on the podcast.
Yeah, baby. I'm smiling right about this one.
This is right up your alley. So Rodgers would get his signing bonus or his roster bonus, and his signing bonus, if he opts out, would equate to $18 million. And then he wouldn't get fined for training camp, right? So that's right. Another win for him, which actually I think ends up being, basically $20 million, right? Because you don't get the $2 million. Yep. There's zero chance Aaron Rodgers opts out on Friday for COVID. Like
zero chance.
Oh yeah, there's no chance. Because this is final. If you opt out, there's no opting back in. So if you opt out, Rodgers saying on July 2nd, or even before that, he makes a decision now, I'm not playing football this season no matter what. He doesn't know if he has a Jeopardy deal yet. He doesn't even know if the Packers
still
are going
to... talking about Jeopardy? Who cares about freaking Jeopardy?
He doesn't even know if the Packers will beg him to come back yet, as we get closer to training camp. His leverage is closer to training camp when the Packers might freak out and be like, oh, no, we can't actually go to training camp with Jordan Love as our quarterback. That's when his leverage really begins, right? It's training camp, the starter camp, training camp, the preseason, the regular season. Right now, there's no leverage. The Packers do not care he missed the offseason program. There's no – they fined him for – or excused absence him from minicamp. Like, who cares? What matters is the leverage he puts on the team in training camp. He gives all that up if he decides to not play this season. Yes, he does keep the money if that's important to him. But Gabe, it doesn't solve his problem because then next year his contract tolls over. He still has the same amount of years left with the Packers. And I don't think Aaron Rodgers wants to be out of the limelight for that long. If he opts out July 2nd, that's it. Bye-bye. Like, you do it right before 4th of July. You do it right before anything really happens in football. You're forgotten about as soon as training camp starts. In Green Bay, you'll be talked about. But that's it, right? Because there's no saying, well, Rodgers might come back any day. Jordan Love is playing poorly. The Packers had to pay Rodgers. It's Jordan Love or else. Like, there's no talk about Aaron Rodgers. To me, his ego won't let him do that. They will not let him be. He will not let himself not be part of the NFL story this season.
Okay, fair. I agree. But this story came from somewhere. And whatever you might think of Mike Florio and thinking he just pulls crap out of his ass, like, this notion needed to be researched. This is based in complicated rules and rules that haven't existed before. So somebody surfaced this as a possibility. And my guess is people close to Aaron helped surface this because they think that it makes the urgency issue in Green Bay go, oh, crap. If we got to pay this guy $18, $20 million to do nothing all season long and we still have this problem next year, maybe we do just trade him to Denver. Screw it. Let's just take what we can get.
Well, they already accounted for his number for the cap this year, right? The Packers did. They have a young quarterback who's, you know, Jordan Love is on a rookie contract. Yes, teams generally don't want to pay players who are not going to play, but that money's already accounted for this season.
Okay, that's a good clarification.
And they're not gonna now go out and spend the money that Aaron Rodgers forfeits them this season, right? Like there's no one they're gonna go out and sign to make up that money. Plus, I think again, I don't know how the cap works with the cap numbers and the post June 1st and all those oddities. But like it's already accounted for this season. So again, I think Rodgers doesn't want to be out of the limelight. And the Packers look, if Rodgers opts out, here's what they say, right? Well, Jordan Love's our guy. We drafted him. He's our guy. Now, if he doesn't play well, that gives Rodgers incentive to come back, or the Packers beg him to come back and pay him more money. But Rodgers won't know if that's the case until Jordan Love actually plays football. Also, Gabe, if Jordan Love does play well, which I'm skeptical about, but in this offense, the way things are schemed up, it's possible he plays better than expected. Then everyone's like, all right, well, we don't even need Rodgers. Like, all right, bye. And then I think it diminishes Rodgers' role in this offense last season. If Jordan Love could put up those numbers, well, Aaron Rodgers, whatever, man. Like, we'll just get someone younger. Goodbye. I don't think Rodgers wants those scenarios to happen. I think he wants Jordan Love to play, him to play poorly, especially in training camp, and then they just end up caving and giving him guaranteed money.
So do you still think this is, and this is a naive question, but you really still think this is about him extracting more money or more guaranteed money? Like,
yeah, I think that two things can make this happen very quickly. One is a trade Jordan Love, which is not going to do. Right. Two is, look, a roster is made up. I think it's 55 guys now. Maybe it's still 53. I think it's 55 now. You know, a large majority of the roster is constructed based off of draft picks and based off of money allotted to a player, right? How can they afford to keep a guy, not keep a guy? The starting lineup is often determined by how much guaranteed money is a player is getting, right? If someone's getting paid more than someone else, they're probably going to pay that guy because they don't want the money to go to waste. And so if they give Aaron Rodgers 2 years of guaranteed money, 2 more years of guaranteed money, they're not playing Jordan Love for 2 more years. They're going to let Rodgers ride that out. Now, he might suck, and that might force him to bench Rodgers at some point, which I don't really see happening ever. But if you guarantee him 2 more years, even 3 more years, which seems a little bit much, that almost guarantees Jordan Love never plays for the Packers. And it guarantees that Rodgers remains the quarterback for at least those 2 to 3 seasons, which is what he wants. He wants a team to show him commitment to Rodgers, which is what Brady wanted, by the way, in New England. The difference was they just kept winning in New England. And so he stuck it out and he continued to take those 1 or 2 year deals. And the difference in New England was that Robert Kraft loved Tom Brady, right? That's like his son in Tom. And Robert Kraft helped the negotiations with Bill Belichick. There's none of that here, right? The president's not coming out. And they're really, you know, there's no owner, of course, with the Packers. So the president's not coming out and saying, you know, oh, you know, he's my boy. We got to re-sign him. It's not how the Packers do business. Plus, Rodgers has alienated the front office. Tom Brady never did that, right? At least not publicly. Right. And so I think that again, all these factors, I believe, lead me to think that he will be back at some point. I just don't know. I still feel strongly it'll be before the season. I can't imagine he wants to just not play this year, man. Like, Jordan Palmer, who knows all these quarterbacks, we're talking the draft. He said, absolutely. And Jordan knows well, his brother Carson sat out, if you recall. But the Bengals and Packers were in 2 different spots too, right? Like the Packers, the NFC Championship game 2 straight years. They're on the rise. They're moving in a good direction. I thought last year's draft, look, I wouldn't have drafted Love, but they drafted Savage this year. They seem to be going the right direction. And is he really just going to sit out? And then if Jordan Love plays well, he looks like an idiot, which, again, may or may not happen. I don't know. I think he's going to end up playing at some point.
Yeah, I mean, he knows. I always bring Brett Favre up at about this point in our conversations. He knows the risk he's taking letting the other guy play. Because, you know, Brett Favre opened the door a couple times, and Aaron showed people, hey, man, like, let me cook, and I'm going to go win a lot of games. We don't need this old guy anymore. And, you know, it might be harder for him to admit about himself, but, like, if he lets Jordan Love out there with a team that has a very good offensive roster, we could say some things about their defense. Their offense is very, very good. Dorks like PFF, your buddies, they rank him with a whole bunch of stars on that team, no matter how much Aaron might complain. So I don't think he wants to let the Jordan Love get a chance to run with this offense for too long. But still, I do wonder if he just sat out a year, seeing Tom Brady play till he's 106, does Aaron Rodgers just think, yeah, it's fine, I'll just get beat up less for 1 year, come back and play three more years when I'm 38? Big deal.
I guess so. I'll just say that I think taking off a year at his age is not going to be ideal. He's going to enjoy the life of a retired player. And at that age, when you kind of have those years, he's not going to come back with the same motivation. I don't think so.
No.
I think he's going to be – I think if he doesn't play this year, he's probably done playing. Which, again, does he want to retire this way? Like, peace out, I'm out of here. If you look at – like, these older guys, man, they just play till the wheels fall off. It's not many situations where they just retire out of nowhere like Rodgers would be doing. And Tom Brady, by the way, is the exception. Every one of these older quarterbacks kind of fall off a cliff, right? You look at Eli and Phillip Rivers and Drew Brees, and I think Big Ben's in that direction right now. They kind of – and Rivers was okay last year, by the way. He wasn't that bad. He could make some throws in the playoff game. But I just don't think Rodgers is going to play till he's 45 and or be Tom Brady at 45. Like, Tom is one of a kind. I mean, I know you hate Tom. His face looks younger now. It kind of bothers me a little bit when I see him, like those videos from the shop he was on. His face just doesn't fit.
Are you turning this into a Tom Brady's handsome topic?
His face just doesn't fit his age, and it kind of bothers me. But nonetheless, I think Rodgers will be back at some point this year.
Okay.
I know it bothers you that Tom Brady looks so good looking.
Yeah, he's married to a supermodel. You think he doesn't have Botox or something around? Like, what? Why do you think he looks that way?
It looks like
he doesn't drink caffeine. He like won't even eat tomatoes because there's too much acid in him. Like, of course he looks good.
His face looks a little tighter. Like, he's got some work done or something. I don't know.
Yes, of course he's done that.
Like, do you think he's got like a facelift, or do you think he just got Botox?
Botox.
Yeah. Well, you're right about the Botox. I'm sure he had Botox.
What? That stuff's probably just like on the countertops in his house. That'd be like me and you grabbing a Raquel out of the fridge.
So we're doing this on video. We're going to put more video out this year. But see, I have this little wrinkle right here. My wife is like, I'll give you a little Botox. I go, I don't care. See a little wrinkle right there on my forehead?
Yeah, I got this one because I live in Southern California and I'm always kind of squinting. I got them right, this one and this one.
And my wife is like, I'll give you Botox. I go, no one cares how I look. It's okay.
Yeah, Jeff, I think you look great. I don't think you need Botox. And I think that ain't going to change the game for you.
No.
Get rid of that wrinkle. It's going to be the difference maker, buddy.
You weren't here. I don't think you were here when I told Matt. I had some makeup done like last week for a thing I was doing. And the makeup lady told me I had beautiful skin. I was quite honored.
I think you do have nice skin.
I don't even know what that means.
I think it's very, it just looks very moist and supple. It's nice.
So you call me fat.
No, you don't have like, I have a beard right now. If I shaved, you know, you'd see like, oh yeah, I used to have some zits and stuff on my cheek, but you don't have any of that. I think you got pretty nice, clean skin.
Very supple skin. I like it. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Before. All right. Well, so just to wrap on Aaron Rodgers, I guess you're saying the people in Denver who are tweeting that they were days away, the trade's coming, you're squashing their hopes and dreams.
Yeah,
there's no chance.
Just, the Packers right now have no reason to move Rodgers. Even with the upcoming idea that he just walks away this season and pockets $18 million, that money is already accounted for in the budget. Now, again, do teams like to pay players who aren't playing? Of course they don't. Of course they don't. But their team does not change one bit if Rodgers takes that money and doesn't play this year.
Okay. Well, it is $18 million you get to save. I understand the money is spent from a league perspective, but it is still money you get to keep. And if he does, in fact, sit out this year, then you have to trade him, right? Like, then you have no choice but to trade him, and you get even less for him because everyone knows he really isn't going to show up. So,
if Jordan Love plays well, if he plays poorly, then you might have to go back and on your hands and knees and pay him some money to come back.
Yeah. All right. Well, I don't know if the Packers are handling this correctly or not. I think this is going to start to become a little bit of a trend where if you are a Hall of Fame quarterback and you know it and you've got maybe a few years left on a final deal or you're angling for one more deal, Russell Wilson might be in this camp. You know you can make this hard, and the question is how hard does the team make it back in response? And I don't think we know what the right way to handle it is yet because we really haven't been through this yet with too many guys.
Well, we haven't.
And it blew up in the Patriots' face.
Just remember, Tom Brady was a free agent, though. He was free to go. We haven't really had this with a veteran quarterback who wants out. Remember, Peyton Manning was a free agent. He left Indy. He was hurt. We haven't seen this with a franchise quarterback who wanted out via trade at this age. We've seen it with older guys who were free agents, which makes sense here.
Okay. All right. Well, let's go the whole other end of the spectrum, which is a unproven guy who is going to get all kinds of talk this offseason. So the Jets rookie quarterback, Zach Wilson from BYU, and his new wide receiver weapon, Elijah Moore, them getting rave reviews. The coaches and beat writers, they're all so, so excited about what they're seeing in these workouts in shorts. And even better, Jeff, and I hope you're picking up on the sarcasm, Wilson has reportedly, quote, already developed many strong relationships attending Islanders playoff games with his offensive
Ooh,
line.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's going out with the big guys on the line.
At the Collie. Gotta get to the Coliseum.
Yeah, so I'd say this is totally meaningless nonsense that get written about by every rookie quarterback who gets into the league because the PR team needs to try to make it look like they got their franchise quarterback. I think it's a bunch of nothing, but everyone seems to buy into this. He's getting along with his team. There's a lot of chemistry here talk. Do you buy it in New York? Do you buy it with Zach Wilson?
Well, I wonder if this is happening because he wasn't a captain on his team
at
BYU.
Right.
Remember that? So like it's like the draft day, you know, show. Like, remember that they were like, you know, the Bo Callahan no one come to his birthday mm-hmm. party type of thing. So I do wonder if that is part of this. Look, I think a lot of chemistry is built in the offseason. And so I like to see that players hang out off the field. That you don't have to live with each other. But I think that, you know, hanging out with your teammates is important. It's a good step in the right direction. And that feels like a positive. Does it mean anything come Sundays? Not right now. No, because what happens is the chemistry has got to carry over to the offseason. I mean, to the regular season, to training camp, to how you play together. But players hanging out off the field it's a good story. It's good. It's better than them not hanging out. But does it matter? No, because guys right now are in different parts of the country. They're not all hanging out. They're back training where they're supposed to be. So the chemistry is not always going to be built in this exact moment. But it's good to see them hanging out. I mean, they're both drafted in the same year. I hung out every Thursday, Friday, Saturday night with the guys that were drafted in my draft class, Nick Hayden, Dan Connor, Mackenzie Bernardue. We hung out every single weekend. No one ever write article about the 4th, 5th, 6th, and 7th round picks for the Panthers are bonding together over some drinks at some random club in Uptown Charlotte. But this is better than some of the other stuff. Like Justin Fields is reporting 2 weeks early to training camp. I mean, whoopee. Like the coaches can't coach him. No one else is there. I mean, all right, he's just going to go work out the facility 2 weeks before camp. I mean, all right, that doesn't give him a leg up on anybody. Dalton knows what he's doing. Like the 2 weeks is not going to make it. No, it shows he's committed, I guess, but that's his job. I mean, I hope he's committed to being the best he can be. But we're fishing for stories now. But I like they're hanging out. That's good. I hung out when I got to New York. We went to a bunch of Rangers games. Like, it's a lot of fun to go hang out with your friends, your new teammates, just to say. You know, outside of the facility.
Okay. So you're going to say there's a little bit of value in it. It's not a big difference, but it's something. Is it possible for, you know, quarterbacks will even tell you they think this is possible, but can you genuinely get chemistry just like slinging it around on an empty field with a receiver? Like, is that real? Don't you just have to be in live fire and throw the ball against coverage to know if you have chemistry with a guy?
No, I mean, I think there's chemistry built in kind of the timing of route running, right? Especially if you're running at full speed, like knowing where when guys are going to break, how they're going to break, how the ball comes in from a quarterback, how hard it's thrown, how soft it's thrown, where it's thrown at. I mean, that all does matter. But until the pads come on, it's hard to put it all together, right? So I think these throwing sessions are important. It's good to be – look, if you're not on the same page with a wide receiver in a non-padded throwing session, that's a problem. Put it like that, right? You should be in phase with your wide receiver in a throwing session without a defense or without pads. But I think definitely the timing of the route and the rhythm of the route and the throwing of the route, it is important to do those on air.
Okay. Well, then let me ask you, this is sort of the media BS of it, and your boy Florio is not involved in this story, but isn't it kind of obvious that, like, somebody said from the team off record that coach loves the way they look together? Like, isn't that the dumbest reason to write an article of all time? Like, of course the team is going to say that the new guys they just invested millions in are getting along and playing well together. Would the story exist before we could see it that they're not playing well together? When would that ever get said to any reporter ever?
Yeah, it's definitely being said to pump them up. I mean, that's not a surprise.
This was what was said about Sanchez. This was what was said about Darnold. Like, why would this be any different at all?
Well, that's my point. Is that it matters when you get on the field. Like, right now, it's great they're doing this. And this is something that, I should encourage younger guys to hang out. But until that manifests on the field, this is just silly talk.
All right. Well, so then let's imagine it does manifest on the field. And Zach Wilson, despite all the things that I think, turns out to be a pretty good NFL quarterback. Still, with that roster and that line, like, is this actually a competitor in the AFC East this year? It seems like the hardest division in football to me.
I like where their offensive line's headed, man. They're doing some good stuff, right? They added Morgan Moses now. I wasn't as high on Zach Wilson as others were. So I would say just kind of like, see, I just wouldn't trust very much this season with them.
Okay. I don't trust anything because I think they're going to lose 5 out of 6 games in the division.
Okay.
Like 5 out of 6 losses. I maybe they steal one against Miami, like, or New England, but they're not going to get more than one off either of them. I don't see it. So then the question becomes, we like to talk betting when we can here. I saw +800 for Offensive Rookie of the Year award for Zach. You like that bet? Even if you don't love him as a player, do you like getting that kind of plus money for him?
I mean, he's going to play right away, right?
But he's going to play. He's going to have chances. He might throw for 3,500 yards just being out there. He'd probably throw for 50 picks if he's playing that much, but...
I would think that... I don't know. I wouldn't make that bet.
Even +800, you're not touching that.
No, I don't think so.
I don't think I am either. All right, let's shift gears. This is a little bit of a deviation, but I think it's going to have a football tie-in here. Let me try to explain this a little bit. This one is directly football. I was thinking about the College World Series stuff that you teased earlier. We'll do that and moving the line in a second. Let's talk about Graham Mertz, the quarterback over at Wisconsin. So he put out a video the other day that showed off his new logo, which kind of looks like Tiger Woods' logo, if you ask me. But... So this is the quarterback putting out his new logo, sort of one of the first big examples of a guy trying to tap into the new rules that allow for guys to profit off their name, image, and likeness. Now, he jumped the gun slightly. Technically, July 1st is when this all should start to go into place, and that might be an issue. We'll get into that. But I just want to know, are we about to see a whole wave of the bigger name players in college football start launching their own brands? Is this going to be the thing this year?
So for those who are unaware, July 1st, which is coming up very soon, is the day that name, image, and likeness, the ability for a player on scholarship, an athlete on athletic scholarship, is able to market themselves for the first time ever. Forever, Jeff Schwartz was not allowed to go in the community as an Oregon Duck and take in a marketing deal, take in any sort of money to do an event, to go sign autographs, to go... take a poop at someone's house, whatever, like, it was like I was never able to get paid to do anything, right? legally. I mean, you know, there's ways around that forever. Now it's legal. Should be legal. So July 1st is coming up. Some states have laws already on the books. This started by California. Their law doesn't take place till January of 23. Of course, California would do something good and then wait 3 years to actually have it happen. Kentucky, for example, has a governor's order, executive order for names like this. There's no set way in how this is going to work. It's just happening on July 1st, which is a problem. So we're seeing Graham Mertz. We're seeing a linebacker, Coy Dang of Cal, put on his Instagram, hey guys, July 1st is coming. DM me. I'm open for business. yeah. I've heard stories of quarterbacks, by the way, from a legit source. It's third hand. I mean, like, I'm getting it from him who got it from someone else. But that a quarterback, who's actually not even that popular, in my opinion, is up for $1 million this year, name image and likeness, which I get. Yeah, that's the face I made, too. I'll believe it when I see it. So what I think is going to happen is this, Gabe. Everyone's trying to find their place in this new college football world. Just like the NFL, the most marketable guys are going to be quarterbacks. The quarterbacks will see money. Now, the question becomes, will they see a lot of money? Will they see some money? How will it come? Will it come when they're a recruit? Will it come when they're at the school? My thing with a lot of this is that if you're a local business person in Wisconsin, right, and you're by the way, boosters aren't supposed to be involved in this. Okay, yeah, right. Of course they're going to be involved in this.
Yeah.
Is how much money are you giving and what return on investment are you seeking for that? Because if you're giving a lot of money to a quarterback, you need wins. You want wins in return, right? If you're paying for a college football player to come to your school or paying for that player to do marketing deals for you, you expect them to win. Because if they lose, what value is that in you? I just don't know many business people who are going to put that much money into college football players, 18 to 22-year-olds, who really aren't going to win, right? I mean, it's like four schools have a chance to win. Now, recruiting-wise, though, recruiting might be different. I think, like, you have a school like Oregon. This is a great thing for Oregon, right, with Nike. Phil Knight could just be like, oh, you want an internship at Nike for the summer? Here's $100,000. Come be an intern. Or you want a Nike deal? Go ahead and get that. But, again, I don't know how individually the players stand out away from their school, right? Because we know, and this I think that something that is a little devalued now, the idea of the brand of the school, right? You're a USC guy, right? The brand of USC is very strong. Is Keaton Slovis, the quarterback there, is he that brandable outside that USC logo?
Maybe. I would say not really.
Not really, not right? Really. Now, so that becomes kind of the dilemma with all the names and likeness stuff. I love that it's happening, but I think everyone's like, I don't know how it's going to work, but most of us agree that it's not going to be as big as we think. A lot of people are going to get a lot of money early on. I was a 3-star lineman from Oregon, man. I mean, from California, who went to Oregon. I mean, maybe I see a couple $100 every now and then. Maybe I don't. I mean, nowadays on social media, guys have bigger followings. It'll be social media deals. But look, you live in the world of kind of some marketing stuff. Dude, you need a lot of followers to get actual money on Instagram. Like, you need a lot. Now, these promo codes that people get to hawk products, they don't make any money from those for the most part. Like, you need real followers. Not fake followers, real followers. And how many of these kids have real social media followings? Like, so I think that a lot of kids are gonna hit it big. Some will make some money, some will make no money. But I like that there's an option to do so at least.
Okay, so let me fire back a couple thoughts at you. One, this idea of a player without the school's brand tied to it, those guys do exist, right? So I'm going to think of a few recent examples. So Lamar Jackson did not come from a school you really think about football much with, or a conference you think about football much with, but everyone knew who he was. Everyone knew what kind of a player he was, right? He could have done something with himself that had nothing to do with Louisville.
Correct. There are a few players like that. You're 100% right.
Okay.
Trevor Lawrence, Tua Tagovailoa. There's plenty of those guys, but they're like the seven guys we thought they would be.
Well, okay, but you even just in Tua and Trevor, like those guys are playing at football powerhouses that are maybe the brand is even bigger than the player. I'm talking about the guy who's like a Heisman contender from a school that isn't really known for much. You know, when Mike Vick was at Virginia Tech, like, he was bigger than anything in Virginia Tech football history. You know, sure, Beamer or whatever, but like, it was Mike Vick. And he could have made a ton of money if those rules were in place then. So I think there are exceptional players. This guy who dove into the water first might not be that. Graham Mertz is not necessarily that guy at Wisconsin. But if there's teams, and I know that they exist, if there's teams and businesses built around trying to get these guys the opportunities within the letter of the law and helping them create opportunities for themselves, to not just to brand themselves, but also to make media for themselves. Yeah. I do think some of them, guys like you at that stage in their career, could make some money, could have an outsized level of influence in social media or with a podcast or making, you know, TV segments.
So there are some players, who was it at USC? I think he just graduated, he got drafted, but there was a player who had like a YouTube channel with him and his girlfriend that got like had 100,000 subscribers. Like there's definitely ways, but I think it's 1 or 2% of players. Like, I don't think it's this big, this big, like giant, huge pile of players that makes money. Look, the schools are going to help facilitate it. I mean, look, that app Cameo, right? The little Cameo app that, you know, I don't know if people use Cameo app. You know, every player can have one of those now. And you, the booster, can be like, here's $500 to give me a, you know, like, so there's little ways to get here and there to get guys involved on making money. I think it's a great idea that they're allowed to do this now, that they're open to doing this. I think the schools will have people in place to help the players decide exactly where they should go with their branding opportunities. Because look, I get it if Oregon says no player can endorse Under Armour when we're a Nike school. Like that's fair, right? That would work in any business. For example, I'll give you an example in like my life recently where I'm at the Super Bowl in Miami for my brother's Super Bowl. I'm sitting there in the little Chiefs family section before the game, probably 5 hours before the game. My agent texts me and goes, hey, Trojan Condoms, I think it was Trojan Condoms, is offering you like $1,000 to tweet out something about wearing Trojan Condoms, like do it like now, before the game.
I know.
And I was like, not really my thing. Like, she sent me like an example tweet and I was like, I mean, I make jokes about being married and like that sort of thing, but not like that. Like, it's not really what my brand is. And my agent's like, I agree, I brought it to you, but like, I just, it's my job to bring it to you. I was like, okay, we're off of that, right? Like, you need someone in your life, these college kids, to tell you, hey, this is not the tweet was so, it was like, when I get on my wife, I wear Trojan condoms. I'm like, that's not a thing I ever tweet. I'm married with two kids. Like, that's not like, it was something so outrageous. Like, something that I would never, again, not at all slight the Trojan condoms, but like, just ridiculous. And I was like, yeah, that's, I'm going to pass on that one there. Like, I'm sitting in the Miami, at the Super Bowl, tweeting about condoms and sex before a game. not going to happen.
If you're my first choice as a condom spokesperson, I mean, you do have nice skin. We've established that.
Yeah, thank you. Where I think name, image, and likeness is going to help the most, by the way, is, and we're seeing this very recently, if you paid attention to the Olympic trials, which I mean, I have. I like watching track and field. It was all Oregon too, which was nice. Is Olympic sport athletes. Olympic sport athletes are going to have a lot of opportunities to cash in when they're Olympians, obviously, right? You can now have endorsement opportunities. Jeremy Bloom is very famously was a wide receiver at Colorado. I think he was a freshman All-American or freshman All-Pac-12, and he was an Olympic skier, and he had to choose. And the NCAA made him choose. And he chose skiing, obviously, as I probably would too. He played a little bit in the NFL. He won a gold medal, but he had to choose one or the other. I think even – so – in women's college basketball, you remember Sabrina Ionescu, who was at Oregon, who went to was drafted by the Liberty in New York, I think. So I forget. I'm sorry if I ruined the team she was drafted by. In college, she would have made a ton of money at Oregon. There's now a girl in Connecticut, Paige Beckers. She will make a ton of money, like very specific, like kind of in a smaller sport, but you're the superstar and girls, you're beloved by all these girls. Like, you will make money again, like. The 3-star right tackle like me, I'm not making any money, but that's life, right? And so the question now becomes to Gabe is that how much will there be resentment in the locker room from other players who don't get as much money? I don't think there will be because it's not in the NFL. So and these kids are younger, a little bit less mature. That's why I think the school is going to try to set up a way for sort of everyone to get just a little bit. So everyone's sort of happy enough to where they don't cause a riff in the locker room.
Well, also, I mean, at the pro level, quarterbacks, I'm sure this was the case for you. You probably have a few gifts from some quarterback who made a whole lot of money buys a nice gift or takes the line out to dinner every year. We always read about it. It's usually about this time of year where we hear those dumb stories, but it's true. It really happens. And I'm wondering, you know, if the quarterbacks decide to take care of their guys and they're the ones who host the parties. And, you know, it's, we're talking hundreds or thousands of dollars, not millions. But if you're a kid on college campus and you're, you know, the quarterback buys everyone a PS5, like that's a nice thing to do. And maybe you can do that under these new rules. So I feel like it could have some positive benefit even for the 3-star right tackle.
I mean, a dinner would be nice. I think we're, you know, people again thinking it's going to be like some boondoggle. It's not going to be for everybody. But I'm excited to watch it happen. It's a shit show, man. I saw a great tweet today that was like, the NCAA had, I got to find it, man. Like the NCAA had all this time to figure this out and just completely couldn't do it. Like, I mean, it's no surprise, right? Like that. That was, no. I mean, it was exactly what we expected it to be, which was a shit show. But they had a chance to make this here, make this right, and just never did. They knew for years that this going to happen. Here's a tour. The NCAA has hid from obfuscation. I can't say that word.
Obfuscation?
There we go. Or lied their way out of every single issue in college athletics except a handful that threatened their revenue model. And when they were finally pressed against their will on that, they still did nothing. Which is exactly right.
Yeah, it's been a weird week for the NCAA. Well, all right, should we let's talk college sports a little bit more, but a slightly different topic, the one I almost got into a minute ago, about College World Series. So baseball players, COVID tests, it's all in moving the line. We'll also get to some other rookie prop bets and some fun stuff for you. So let's take a quick break. We'll be right back with Moving the Line. All right, welcome back, Jeff. Time for Moving the Line, our little over-under game we like to play here. I want to know, over, under, 50% chance the College World Series story happens in football this season. And for background, basically, NC State had a bunch of positive tests, even among guys who had been vaccinated. They had to forfeit. They lose their chance at a College World Series title. Everyone's upset. It's a very confusing story. But basically, some failed tests and some discrepancies about who was or wasn't vaccinated leads to vacated wins. Thoughts?
So I'll fill in a little bit of the blanks here. So NC State had unvaccinated players. Reportedly, Vanderbilt, their opponent, had a fully vaccinated team. And we've seen with the NFL protocols that fully vaccinated teams are not getting tested. Oh, vaccinated players are not getting tested. So Vanderbilt's not getting tested. NC State is getting tested. And two of their unvaccinated players tested positive, which triggered a test of the rest of the team, and therefore four vaccinated players tested positive. Six total players tested positive, two unvaccinated, which triggered the vaccinated players to get tested. And so NC State was determined to, they didn't have enough players to play, and they're out. This is 100% going to happen in the NFL at some point this year, unless the numbers go higher than they are now. And look, there are some teams that are doing a great job. Some teams are above 75%. Those teams are going to be fine. But, you know, I start talking about with the Cole Beasley thing, right? Is, let's say you're Cole Beasley, and let's say there's two other wide receivers in that room that aren't vaccinated, or even they're a vaccine, whatever it is. And, well, they have to be unvaccinated in this example. They're unvaccinated. And some players have shared, you know, Josh Allen has shared that opinion, I believe, as well, right? Let's say him and Cole Beasley are hanging out, and one tests positive for COVID because they're there every single day they're being tested. They're both out for 2 weeks. They're being quarantined. They're out. There's no way around it. Those are the protocols. In the NFL, guess what? Whether you like the protocols or not, it's going to stick to their protocols. It did last year. They're going to continue it again, and they will continue to stick to their protocols that they want their whole season in. And so it is a competitive advantage to have your players vaccinated. I think that when roster decisions are made between, you know, the end of the roster, the back end of the roster, players that are vaccinated will get a spot over players who are unvaccinated. Whether that's fair or not, that's what's going to happen, Gabe.
Interesting.
Right? Because if you had two players, even a player who's slightly less, the vaccinated player will cause you less headaches, will be able to work out with the team, train with the team, will not be tested every day. There's really no possibility that player cannot play because of COVID. Or an unvaccinated player who has a chance to basically ruin it for a lot of other people.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if you're talking about the guys who round out your roster, I think what you're, I hadn't considered it, but what you're saying makes a lot of sense. I wonder if there'll be any pressure among players. But, you know, I thought it was interesting that Cole said he was speaking for a lot of other guys who aren't in a position in their career to say what he said, you know, and I don't want to get into the whether he's right or wrong about his choices. I thought it was interesting that he felt like he was speaking for a lot of other guys. And I kind of believe him. I bet he is.
I'm sure he is too.
So I'm wondering if there'll be pressure on vaccinated players to their teammates, not from the team or the league or the players association, but teammate to teammate, to say, hey, dude, don't screw us over. Like, you gotta do this, man. Do you think that would happen? Is that a conversation you can imagine happening?
Yes. Imagine if you are in the offensive line room with me, right? Five starting offensive linemen.
Okay.
Three are vaccinated, two are not vaccinated. Those two guys, man, I can't hang out with them in the facility. I can't eat with them. I can't travel with them. I can't be in the sauna with them. I can't be in the meeting with them. I can't go out and eat with them. I'd probably be like, yo, get the freaking shot, buddy, so we can go to work and let's try to win a championship. Like, let's get after it. And the peer pressure of that from your coaches, from your teammates, is now again, if you're not taking the vaccine now, you're probably not going to take it.
You're not going to.
So, which is just, it's so upsetting. This could be done in America, bro. It could be just completely done over with. It could just be done. We could just move on with our lives, but we're not. Now there's another variant and it's starting to wreak havoc in places. And you're not going to take it. So is the peer pressure going to get to you? I don't know. Possibly, I guess, but if you're not going to take it now, especially when there's pressure from society to take it, maybe your teammates will change your mind. Maybe your coaches will, but I'll be skeptical.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's lighten it up a little bit here. I want to go back to your guy, Mike Florio. I want to know, over under 6.5 articles Mike Florio will write guessing which team Tom Brady was bad mouthing on LeBron's show the other day. How much content can we make out of that?
We covered this last Monday. Okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Florio has written an article every day about a different team. We all know it's either Ryan Tannehill or Drew Brees. Those are two, and people believe it's Ryan Tannehill. Even though I think Matt's assertion of Drew Brees is actually pretty close. It might be Drew Brees. He did the Dolphins today. Like, what the fuck? Dolphins? What did they have to do? The Dolphins? I bet from now...
They didn't even know who their quarterback was. Why would Tom Brady be crapping on?
I bet in 2 weeks will be the Chiefs. Like, the Chiefs will be up, the Packers. Like, all every week, every day, something new. God, that guy, man. Like, just give it a rest, bro. No one's talking about this. If I did national radio today, guess what? We won't be talking about this story anymore. It was a two-day, at the most, fun story that we giggled about, laughed about. And Florio's just being a dead horse. It's over. Tomorrow will be a different team. Just go to my Twitter, @JeffSchwartz. I'll retweet whoever he talks about tomorrow.
Yeah. Well, you got to get those clicks, man. That's how it works. All right, rapid fire rookie prop bets. Here we go. Over under 4,150.5 passing yards for Trevor Lawrence. That's a lot of yards for a rookie.
Yeah, I go under on this one. That's just a lot. I think Urban Meyer is going to want to run the ball and kind of play keep away and not have Trevor do a lot. I think Trevor will use his legs a bunch. This is a total yards bet. I don't know, 4,300, I might take some action on that, like total including rushing, but this is too many yards. This is too many.
Even with like 1,200 from Tebow, you don't think he gets to 4,150?
I mean, I never spent so much time talking about a fourth string tight end in my life.
Well, I'm just saying, you know, if your tight end position is going to get you that many yards, it's probably a lot easier
yes,
to get
under.
To.
I'll take the under on Tebow props too, don't you worry.
Okay. I'll let that be the only Tebow reference today. We'll come back to him in a week or two. Over under 730.5 receiving yards for Jalen Waddle. That feels low to me, but I don't know. Rookies don't always have as many yards as
we
Jefferson might expect.
Had a bunch of yards last year. This is the part of the show I'm not supposed to look at before we do it. So I have no idea about what guys get normally. I'll go over because I think he'll be a big target for Tua. Like, he'll be a guy who's underneath, who catches the ball and gets a bunch of yak.
Yak. Yards, so you think a lot of after, that yak's coming.
Yards
coming,
after catch, yards after contact, whatever you want to use.
Okay. I'm going to take the over there. I think I don't know if I want to call him this year's Justin Jefferson or anything like
that. I don't think that. Different players.
Yeah, I think he becomes a good fantasy pick, though. All right, speaking of good fantasy picks, this guy's going to go real early. My league is set up so you can't have a keeper until the eighth round, so this guy should be gone well before then. But over under 7.5 touchdowns from Kyle Pitts.
Oh, over on that.
Over, right?
Oh, yeah, by far.
Seven. I mean, now, granted, like 8, 9, 10 touchdown catches for anyone's pretty good, but a rookie tight end in an offense with Ridley already there, you know, there aren't that many touchdown passes you can throw, but you say over 7.5.
Yeah. All right. I think so. Yeah. Yeah. I forgot right. about that.
Okay. Last one. This will be NBA related, but I'm going to bring it back home for you. So we've got four teams left. It's going to be a weird finals. I don't think it's going to be the finals that the network's dreamed of. But let me ask it this way. How many LeBron rings in LA do we have left? Over under 0.5.
Oh, jeez. Are we getting Dame Lillard in a trade? Is that part? Is that?
I think Alex Caruso is locked up in Texas with a bunch of weed, and they're going to need a point guard. I don't think Schroeder's going to be allowed back in LA. So, yeah, they might make the deal.
I'd say no. I mean, AD can't stay healthy. LeBron's getting up in age. As much as he says this summer is spent, you know, retooling, changing his number, whatever it is, I would say no.
Window's already closed.
I think so. Now, if AD's healthy, they have a chance to win. If they're gonna find themselves a couple shooters, man, like just get someone who can shoot the ball, please. You have a chance to win. I would say no.
Yeah, that's why the Ben Simmons trade talk made no sense to me. It's like, oh yeah, let's get Ben Simmons in there.
Is there really trade talk for Ben Simmons? I mean,
there's a rumor for everything. So
no.
Well, listen, Mike, I can tell you this, Jeff. You don't follow basketball quite the same way. There's like 100 Mike Florios for basketball. If you think he's just trying to write Tom Brady stories every day off the same, you know, soundbite, go check out NBA Twitter, man. You could find a Dame Lillard or a Ben Simmons trade to NBA any Twitter, team. And yeah,
I've never seen NBA Twitter defends their league more than any other league of fans. Like they just go hard for the NBA, man. Like baseball fans are like, what is Manfred doing with the sticky stuff? Like they're just like, they're pissed about it. They don't like it. You know, NFL fans bash Goodell all the time. NBA fans say nothing bad about the league ever. It's unbelievable. Like Adam Silver's not paying you to say nice things about the NBA. It's okay to kind of poo poo the NBA sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. That's an interesting, I wonder if it has to do with the age or why.
Have
that
you
is
noticed that by the way?
A little bit. I mean, I don't think it's
I think it is because a lot of the media is more connected to the players and the ownership. And I think in the NFL, a lot of the media is kind of league based, right? Like they get a lot of information from the league, and it's just, there's a different vibe with NFL fans. I mean, they freaking hate Goodell.
Yeah. I don't know how to respond to all that intelligently other than to say this, because you brought it up and you're a big baseball guy. I don't pay attention to baseball this time of year. Even the Mets are having a great year, and I'm like, whoa, Mets, maybe I have to take them seriously. But I'm out in LA. I can't watch baseball. But this nonsense with the calling out all the star pitchers and basically accusing every one of them publicly of cheating. I don't know, man. I don't know what to make of this, because on the one hand, it seems ridiculous to try to embarrass your whole league and, you know, call out your best stars. But on the other hand, like, more dingers, please, man. I don't need guys throwing, you know, two hitters. I want to see home runs.
Except your boy is the best pitcher in baseball. DeGrom doesn't allow a run ever.
Come at him, man. He's got nothing to hide.
Oh, and they did.
But what is the point? Like, we don't need pitchers to get better. We need hitters to get better.
Well, the point is basically that the spider attack they use is, so pitchers have always used substances on the ball, right? And they've used typically rosin and sunscreen or rosin and pine tar. But what happens is the spider attack is extra sticky, right? What it does is it just sticks in your finger that extra split second longer, and it creates faster rotation on the ball. And faster rotation on the ball means that your ball bites a little bit more and it moves a little bit more. So hitters forever have always hit balls that had pine tar and rosin on them, right? And sunscreen and sweat and Vaseline, whatever. And they always knew where it was going to go.
Snot.
That's been a while, but yes, snot. Spit balls, like, you know, they've done this forever. And you sort of knew where the ball was going to go, even with the substances on there. Now with the spider attack, you kind of don't know where the ball is going to go because it breaks so hard. Or even a fastball, it rises a little bit or it moves a little bit more than it's supposed to, especially a four-seam fastball. It's not supposed to really go laterally at all. It's supposed to stay in the same plane. And so that's – now, I would argue that the philosophy of baseball and hitting is the reason why the batting averages are down, not the balls. But I'm going with this because I know baseball – people aren't here for my baseball team, even though I love baseball and I follow a lot – is that – this is baseball's fault because they juiced the baseballs a couple of years ago. In response, the pitcher said, you know what? Screw this. We need some help. We're going to go to spider attack. And now baseball's in the situation they're in now. Instead of just acknowledging that they juiced the balls. Funny, the hitters didn't complain about juice balls then, didn't complain about the balls then. And even now, they're not really complaining because they know their pitchers are doing it too. So it's just a problem that like no one even needs fixed. No one's asking this to be fixed except Major League Baseball. They've caught one guy so far. As of recording this on Monday, the 28th, they caught a guy in Seattle who claims that he was using rosin on his glove hand, his left upper forearm was using rosin, and that's why his glove was sticky. Who knows? But no one else has been caught, and they've checked everybody. So I don't know.
All right. Well, all you youngins out there listening to this show at the 50-something minute here, go check out the scene in Major League with Eddie, what's Eddie's name? Shit.
I know you're talking about.
Snot on the ball. Eddie,
everything. Vaseline,
what's
everything.
His name? Yeah, Crisco. What's his name? Damn, why am I blanking
Eddie
on
Harris.
His name? Eddie Harris. And Eddie Harris was a junk ball piker. He didn't have anything left. But the aces now are using all the Crisco. So, well, I'll pay more attention as the season rolls on. Jeff, thanks for making us a little smarter in the Aaron Rodgers situation. And making sure that I don't get my hopes up about the Jets and explaining all this complicated stuff with NIL and COVID. So a good show. It's nice to be back with you. A little break here in the summer, but I'm happy to be
with
you. I
know. We had a good show today with not a lot happening. We made it work. So I'm glad everyone can tune in. Guys, we're 2 months away from college football. Week zero is two months from today. UCLA, Hawaii. I mean, who's jacked? Who could not be jacked up for that? Fresno State, Connecticut. I mean, like, jeez. Woo! Got the football coming pretty soon. All right, everyone. Have a good week. Have a good 4th. We'll talk to you guys after the 4th. Take care, everybody.